Ask the Podcast Coach for October 3rd, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
It is Saturday, October 3rd. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and so happy that you're here. We're here every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. If you're listening now, tell a little bird over there in the upper left-hand corner and let your friends know. And joining me as always, the one and only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations. In fact, when you're around him, you can't feel your face. The one and only Jim Collison.
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Happy post-international podcast day.
Yeah.
I think it was a success. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say I think International Podcast Day was a success. Yes. Lots of traction, lots of people talking about it, trending on Twitter, all those kinds of things. And so congratulations to everybody who really came out for the day and made it a great day. I mean, like a million times better than last year. And it was great last year.
Yeah.
So wearing the shirt today and on, I didn't get to wear it. I was on the road traveling. I did listen in on my phone on Blab a couple times where I could in between Omaha and Des Moines and Ames, Iowa, the area I'm in. And but no, congratulations to everybody who did it as well. I will say real quick, we are broadcasting live as well on this. On, you know, I bought that new Spreaker app. And if you wanted to see what that looked like, if you go out to, and I'll put this in the chat room, if you go out to homegadgetgeeks.com, that's kind of my I created a single page just for my mobile app, so it'd be easy to send people to that. So if you go to homegadgetgeeks.com, download the app for either iPhone or Android. No Windows Phone on this, but Android, or, iPhone or Android. We're streaming live through that app right now. So it'd give you some idea what that looks like if you want to see how Spreaker is doing their mobile apps. They're all the same from that standpoint. And Dave, I did hear from a listener as well who pinged me on Facebook, said they're doing the same thing for, and I should know who that is. I'll bring that up here in a second, but who's doing the same thing through Spreaker. So if you haven't, those are $99 each or $200 for both, and a good way to do it. So we're streaming live. Ask the Podcast Coach, streaming live out through that right now.
Sweet. Yeah, I plan on getting my streaming stuff back up on this end. I know we're not going on Mixler right now or Spreaker like we normally do, but the office is slowly getting there, cleaner than it's ever been. And the bad news was, last weekend, I was told that the local news would be covering me for International Podcast Day, which is really cool. And then Monday, they called late and said, oh, you know what? We're not going to be able to make it. And I really thought at that point it was a done deal. It wasn't going to happen. And then they contacted me again on Tuesday, and they're like, we're still trying to squeeze you in. You know, where's your office at? Can you come here? I can do whatever you want after 5 o'clock. And they're like, okay, cool. And I called her back at 2. She's like, she said, I'll call you back later. And then she did. And I called her at 2. She goes, no, we still want to make this happen. She goes, but there's like a suburb of Cleveland. One of the mayors got like the FBI like raided his house. And oddly enough, not as important as International Podcast Day. I think that's rather...
You got downgraded for a more spectacular story. You should have done something crazy.
I should have. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I should have, you know. Whatever. But, and I was saying, you know, I could be like my wife was like, well, that sucks. And I'm like, well, it's the news. What are you going to do? And I'm sure as much as they're like the local Fox News, it's probably just, you know what I mean? In the same way that people think we're, you know, have this big giant audience and we, you know, everybody thinks I'm so busy. It's like, no, there's a lot behind the scenes. That's not what you probably think. And I'm sure the local news is probably just a bunch of guys with cameras that, you know.
It is. It's a small team, usually, you know, 20 or 30 on the local level.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to get ratings.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just ratings for them.
Yeah. If you're new to Ask the Podcast Coach, again, we're here every Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And the way this works is if you have a question, we don't pull people into the room. You come in and we just let you in. So it's an easy way to ask a question. And so if you're watching this live, come on out. We did get it's not so much a question. We got a comment last week. We were talking about Overcast because the podcast app had still not been fixed. I understand it's almost kind of fixed if you upgrade. But I was talking with Daniel J. Lewis, and he said not for everybody though. It's like, it's really, really close. So, but this came in from, Troy from, the Blacklist Exposed podcast and as well as the, Packers fan podcast.
Hey, Super Dave calling for Ask the Podcast Coach. This is Troy Heinrichs from the Blacklist Exposed podcast at theblacklistexposed.com and the Packers podcast at PackersFanPodcast.com. I was listening to the show the other day for Ask the Podcast Coach, and you guys were talking about the cool features of iOS 9 and the fact that you don't want to upgrade because of the podcast app. But the cool thing, of course, you guys were talking about was Overcast as an alternative for those of us that did upgrade to iOS 9. And the one thing that nobody mentioned in that was that you can, with the new iOS 9 feature set, and this is the great thing about Overcast, is that when you're listening to an episode, you can actually go ahead and activate Siri in the middle of the episode and say the words, "Remind me about this." And that feature, what it does is puts a reminder on your list with an Overcast icon that when you tap it in reminders, will take you back to that exact time code in the episode in case there was something you wanted to, say, follow up on. For example, Glenn the Geek, in that episode from your other show, I wanted to know about putting your player on other sites and things of that nature. That would have been a great handy tool back then, so I wouldn't have to write it down in the car as I'm driving. So with iOS 9 and Overcast, you can now, just as you have the player open, just hit Siri, "Remind me about this," and you literally have an instant audio bookmark in your Reminders app. Such a cool feature. Overcast is a great app. Can't recommend it enough. Thanks for doing the show, and we'll talk to you soon. Troy here, signing off.
Very cool. I was like, awesome. I'm like, all right, I think I'm down with that. I think I'm officially not going to switch to Overcast, because even though it doesn't work, because I was staying with iOS 9 because of Clamors, but if I could set a reminder, I could easily now go back, get that file, and make the Clamor, I think. I'll have to double check on that.
Well, you can still use, I mean, it's, while it's broken, they're going to fix it here pretty quick. Yeah, I mean, I think I'd use both, to be honest with you. Load those in the iTunes player, unless you have 16 gig and a 16 gig
Thank
iPhone.
Yeah,
then maybe you need to be a little more judicious. By the way, Troy was the one who reached out to me on Facebook as well about to talk about the Spreaker app. Having trouble remembering that earlier. Troy, so wow, he got that. How cool is that? He got a double whammy.
That's right.
On the program. That's what happens when you interact with us, right? You might get mentioned on the show. So Troy, thanks for reaching out to me on Facebook as well. But yeah, Dave, you could do both, right? You could load them in, let them do their thing in the podcast app and iTunes and use Overcast. You don't have to just use one.
Right. If you got the space, by all means, go to town. And Randy Cantrell in the chat room says, it's fixed now for me with iOS 9.0.2. Is that what phone do you have?
It wasn't broken for everybody, right? The problem was, is if you had a whole bunch of podcasts and nobody knew what a whole bunch was, right? Nobody knew that exact number. For some people, it worked. And then for some people, the 0.2 release fixed it. And for some, it didn't. So it's being very sporadic. I think it's probably based on the database size or one of those kinds of things where there's some code in there that's affecting it. But I've held off updating. I think I'm going to upgrade this weekend and just deal with it.
That's me. I think I'm like, all right, I'll finally just, maybe I'll update my iPad. That's what I did. That's how I figured out it was really broke, is I upgraded my iPad and then it just crashed. So maybe I'll try upgrading the iPad and see if that works. But
I wouldn't be afraid. I don't think I'd be afraid of it. And if you have, this is a problem, is it's affecting people who have the most podcasts. And so those are the most avid listeners. And that's the hardest one to recover from, because the solution is to wipe everything out on the podcast app and resubscribe, which is just not fun if you're, if you've got 80 or 90 podcasts that you're subscribed to. So looks like we got Kim coming back in. Hey, Kim.
There she is.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Dave. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I don't think we're on your mic, though. I think we're on your camera mic.
Oh, gee.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Here's the story. I upgraded to Windows 10, and Audacity doesn't work.
Hmm.
Ooh. So. Yeah.
Did you – I assume you've uninstalled it and reinstalled?
I'm hearing from everybody the same problem. Won't work.
And what specifically is not working? Because I've got it on my Surface and it's working perfectly. So what specifically is not working for you?
I'm hearing different things. Some people are saying, I get 3 minutes and then it shuts down.
So it starts, it just dies.
It'll load, it just freezes. So I'm looking for a good alternative. I have business I have to do.
The cheapest one I used to play with was Sony. There he is. I wonder where.
Where did you run up? Keep going. It just locked up.
Welcome back.
I used to use Sony Music Studio for a PC. It's a little. In fact, I need to upgrade my. I need to upgrade a bunch of tutorials. That's on the list of things today. That's what I used to use before I switched to Audacity, before I switched to Audition. And the only reason I switched was because somebody gave me Audition. They're like, hey, at the time there wasn't a Mac version. And they said, hey, I have this, you know, this software and I'm switching to a Mac. So if you want it, it's yours. And then now since then I've had to upgrade and ended up now I'm on the whatever paid plan. But for the longest time, I was using Audition 3, and I got it for free. But yeah, Sony. See, it's not as cheap as I thought it was. It's $44 because it's. I don't know why it's Sony Acid Music Studio. Like I would never. I'm like, what marketing person thought, hey, let's put the word acid in our product? I'm like, that just doesn't seem to be a good idea. But
hey, Kim, can you tell me how you upgraded to Windows 10 and when?
About a month ago, just before the deadline started coming due.
Well, you have a full year to upgrade to Windows 10. You don't have to.
Yeah, well, I did it, and yep. You know, for the most part, it's been a good upgrade. Yep. I haven't had too many problems until the Audacity thing came up, and then I said, what am I going to do?"
And you locked up on me, or I locked up on you when you said you get 3 minutes, and then I lost all that.
I get three minutes, and then it freezes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't heard that. So that's the first I've heard of that problem with Audacity in Windows 10. Did you try uninstalling it and reinstalling it?
I assume not yet because it was that or throw something against the wall. So I just quit.
Yeah, it's a good call. Sometimes you have to walk away, make a drink. Well, you know, some of those kinds of things, right?
Yeah,
when right. You're dealing with it. But that's probably. I bet that will help. Or maybe even fixed a problem for you. A library got messed up or something in the process. Yeah. In the upgrade to Windows 10, there's a lot of, you know, they're backing everything up for you before you even start the upgrade. And then they're running the upgrade. And in that process of backing up and bringing those apps back across, it's basically uninstalling it, reinstalling it for you and setting things in the registry. Everything doesn't always go perfectly in that. So by uninstalling the application and reinstalling it, you get a fresh instance in the registry and all those things are set. So that I would encourage you to do that when you get a second. Just uninstall it. Don't delete any of the folders. Just uninstall it, reinstall it. And all your settings should come back for you.
Okay. I'll give that a shot.
Awesome.
Give it a
shot.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You have a great day.
You too.
All right, Kim. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, the three R's of tech support are A, reload the software, or first, reboot your computer.
Reboot.
Yeah, GTX keeps coming in, and about the time I go to click on him, he falls out. But
hang tight. If you're calling, we will get to you right away. Just hang tight.
Yeah. So number one, reload the software. Number two, reboot the machine. In fact, I would do that one first. Reboot, right. Then reload, and then at that point, read the manual. Which is no fun.
No, ask the podcast coach. Yeah, that's right. What you want to do. The third thing is ask the experts, ask the podcast coach.
Yeah,
that's a pretty common within Windows. That's pretty common. And, you know, I gave advice months ago when, you know, it came out on July 29th. I said to podcasters, do not upgrade your production system to Windows 10. I think I was pretty clear about that. I would still give that advice. If it's working for you today and it's your production machine, Windows 10 is not ready for the upgrade yet for those kinds of boxes. If it's a new box and it's just something you're using and you want to try it out, there is nothing for the podcaster. There is nothing new in Windows 10 that you need to have. Nothing. In fact, I was on Windows 8 on my studio PC and I downgraded it to Windows 7. Now I did that because I wanted Windows Media Center and that's not available on 8 or 10, but Windows 7 works great for me as a podcaster. So 7, 8 or 10, either one of those will work, but please don't take your production system and upgrade it to Windows 10 right now. Give it some, it still needs a little more baking time from that standpoint. They just have not done, it's got some weird issues with it, like anything, right? Like anything. And so don't make me, I've got it. Don't make me break out. Oh, here, I'll just show you. Don't make me, oh, I'm going to break it out. Don't make me break out my Windows MVP card here. So I'm just going to say, don't do it right there. Don't do it. You don't, not yet. Just give it some time. Certainly test with it if you want to.
Yeah, that could be kind of tough.
And well, it is. It's your production box. And if you're doing a weekly podcast and you get like Kim, it's 3 minutes. Oh, that's super frustrating.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of 3 minutes, I have some feedback for you about your new podcast.
Oh, the new Silicon Prairie News one.
So what's the name of it?
It's called the Silicon Prairie News Minute.
Minute, right. I Googled that, and here's kind of the good news, bad news situation. You know how you put it everywhere? I couldn't find like...
Hold on. Go ahead.
I couldn't find it on... But I found all... You know, you list on all these... Like,
I do list it in a lot of places, yeah.
I couldn't find like the actual like homepage of it.
There isn't one yet.
That's why I couldn't find it. Okay.
So what we did is we tested it inside another podcast. So Home Tech Tips is the podcast that it's in. And I've tried it twice there just to get it out to the audience. So before I created a feed, before I put it in iTunes, before I worried about, do you have the buzzer ready? Is that ready? Because I'm going to say something you're going to want to buzz.
Okay, here we're ready.
So see, is it ready? Tell me when it's ready. So before I get it in new and noteworthy. Okay. So we wanted to test it out. And I was actually in an event on Thursday night with a group of startup folks who are around the Silicon Prairie News. And a couple of people came up to me and said, hey, I'm really liking listening to that podcast. Are you guys going to do more of it? So now that we've got it where we want it, now we're going to start talking about, okay, do we create our own feed for it? What do we do with iTunes? Where is it going to live? What are we going to do with it? So I just wanted to test it. You know, and thank God I did. The first three were terrible.
Well, there you go. That's
great feedback, though.
Okay, because I was just like, because I put a link to it in this last week's Ask the Podcast Coach, and I was like, where?
And no, it lives at theaverageguy.tv, and the last episode of it is at Home Tech Tip. That's the feed that I do these short home tech tips, and I just thought I'll just include it in that, and that'll be a good mechanism for people to be able to listen to it. It will get its own feed at some point.
Very cool. All right. And 3 minutes, is that something that's, are you finding that a challenge?
No.
I'm going to say.
Great. No, it's great. It's so freeing. And it's actually, this is the first time it's scripted. So
there you go.
We're doing a script for this, and it's a loose script. So Ryan writes, Ryan's he's the general manager for the paper. So he kind of writes he writes what he's going to say, and then I go in and script my questions, and then we just read it, and we'll read around it. You know that. You've done that before where you've got text and you're just reading around it.
Right.
Kind of deal. So we read around it, record for maybe 10 minutes. I edit, you know, I can do a 15-minute edit, and I'm done, and I release them. So incredibly freeing, completely different from anything I've ever done before. Usually I'm long play, interview style. Right. This is short play every other week, scripted.
Nice.
So it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I encourage people to try something different in your podcast. It's maddening at first.
Different recipe. Right. Different recipe, but still a tasty little morsel, which is kind of cool.
It's something fun to try. Yeah. Right. Who knows if we'd be successful? We don't care. We're going to give it a try and see where it goes. That's costing us nothing.
There you go. Nothing is always good.
Well, it's our time.
Right. And one of the things I thought I would talk about today, just in the event that somebody doesn't jump in, here we go. We got a question in the chat room. What do we think of the quality of MP3 produced by Auphonic? I've heard it uses the lame, that is true, the desktop version, as far as I know. I don't know what the online version does. I don't use it for MP3s just for that reason. I do all my stuff, like I'll have it do the levelating and the noise reduction in Wave. I'll pull that into Audition and then export out to an MP3 file. If I didn't have Audition, I would just pull it into iTunes and let it go that route. There are times I don't know if you use like upper end lame stuff. That sounds so weird, but to me, I don't hear a huge difference. It's when you go like 64 mono lame versus 64 mono on that. It's, I hear a difference. So.
Yeah, to me, lame has it's a little soft, hissy sound in it when you do voice. It's just this kind of soft, pushy, squishy kind of sound to it as opposed to the Fraunhofer. But you got to really be listening close to get that. And I agree with you. The higher the bit rate on those, the better it is, but still not perfect. But iTunes does it. Why would if you're worried about price, iTunes uses Fraunhofer. And to your point, let them produce it, make it into a Wave, and then have iTunes crunch it out. And that works for Audition is the way I do it.
Yeah, it takes like, you know, maybe 2 minutes. It depends, of course, on how long your file is. But the only thing with iTunes is once you do it, then you have to go find the file. And somebody said
that,
there's a way you can, yeah, you can like right click on it and say show it in a folder or something. There's some way, like a shortcut for that. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I thought I would mention here, we haven't talked about this in a while. And it's just because I got one. I was like, all right, we could talk about this. What do you do when you get a meh kind of review? So I got a review from Thrifty Jen B for the Logical Weight Loss Podcast. And she said, Dave tries. He really does. And on the surface, the stuff he says makes sense. Move more, eat less. But it's also so gimmicky. He plays around with apps and programs, but never seems to get anywhere. And when he finally does have progress, he acts like it's just common sense and everyone should know what to do. Duh. The latest being his fascination with Slimgenics. By the way, I'm down 10 pounds. From his description, this does not sound like a program that could be sustainable, but it does sound like a starting point, and I certainly wish Dave the best with his program. For real mindset change, I highly recommend Half Size Me and also Lift Like a Gift. The hosts talk about loving who you are now while changing your mindset to ultimately achieve your best self. You will pick up tips, but they won't be the little list like Dave sometimes shares for an article. I'll keep listening because I'm a podcast junkie, and I also produce two shows before Dave dismisses me completely, and not the ones I mentioned above, which I'm kind of like, okay, good. What do you produce? No, we're going to stand behind. Yeah, okay. And the sound quality is usually quite good. Not easy to pull off. I do hate the intro music because I think only wanting to be thin is a poor goal. Because my show's about just want to be thin. I'm not trying thin. Yeah. I want so much more for myself, but that's just me. So I listen for the entertainment, but I do not expect to learn or be inspired. And here's the bottom line of this. So she gave me 3 stars, right? It could have been worse. So she's looking for what? To learn or be inspired. Well, guess what? Here's a novel idea. She's not my target listener. This is a show about me. I'm a guy. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a trainer. I'm not trying to pimp anything. I'm just a dude trying to lose weight in the basement. And I'm going to tell you things that I found on the internet that interest me. I'm a geek, so I'm going to talk about apps. And that's what I do. And I've had other people that have said, Dave, I love your show. I lost 100 pounds because I listened to your show. So I looked at this. Now, I might go listen to these other shows just to see what the heck she's talking about. But I was like, I kind of listened to that. I'm like, is there anything here of value? Like, you know, is there anything? And I'm like, okay, I'm not inspirational. And I'm like, well, to her, I don't know what she's looking for, but okay. And I just kind of went, all right, well, there's somebody who's feel free to not listen to my show. It's okay.
But, you know, it's, that being said, there is some good things. I always use those as a chip, you know, put a chip on my shoulder to go, all right, there's obviously for every one person who complains, there's a few more out there who don't, who should, right? And so I think it does give you a good opportunity to review those. I always say don't take any action for a week on a comment like that. Let it sit. And I think sometimes you find, oh yeah, there's probably some truth to what was said there. And you can start making some subtle changes. The other thing I would do is respond. If you get a harsh comment like that back, respond back if you can. And on iTunes, you don't always know who it is, but sometimes you get it via email.
Well,
I always say respond back and say, hey, I appreciate your comments. Can we have a conversation? Because I want to ask you some questions about this. And that conversation can sometimes lead to higher engagement in that person. They'll come because all of a sudden they're getting what they want. Oftentimes they're doing a negative review because they want attention.
Yeah.
Is what they want, right? And so you've given them some attention, and you can often turn those critical, harsh, reviews into some really positive things for your podcast. So one, don't overreact, right? Just wait, sit on it, give it at least 24 hours before you do anything. Never type anything back in the first 24 hours.
Well,
go ahead.
The first thing I did was Google Thrifty Jen B, and there's about 50 of them. So,
yeah.
And I couldn't find her podcast anywhere. I was like, all right, well, what? So I'll address it in the show. I'm going to read it my show and just go, hey, thank you so much for the review. It's like, here's why I do that. But Brian had asked, do I state this? Yeah, I start at the beginning of the show. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a trainer. I'm just a dude in the basement trying to lose weight. And you guys get to listen to me. Basically, I make the show for myself. It's me talking about that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you say. There are going to be people who come and complain about what you do. And they'll come back every week and complain about what you do, which drives me nuts.
Yeah.
You're like, why don't you stop listening? But because it's they're not complaining necessarily always because it's bad, but there's some attention that needs to be given.
Yeah, they want you to do something that you're not, probably in many cases.
Well, no, I think they want to engage. Oftentimes they struggle with engagement themselves, and so they only know how to start engagement in negative ways, and so they're just doing what they know, which is, hey, I'm going to complain. Most people, when they don't like something, they just stop doing it. So when you have those chronic complainers, or when you have those people that are just, they keep coming back and you're like, why are you still listening? Oftentimes the motivation in that is not for you to change, although there's probably some things you can change, but that's not the motivation. The motivation is to bait you into a conversation where they get attention. That's what it is. And sometimes if you can give that attention back in a positive way, and call them, like I said, give them a call, go one-on-one, get off of email. Do not engage on these things in email. It never works. It's always misread and misunderstood and becomes a big flaming ball of crap, right? Don't do that. Ask them, can I call you?
Yeah, that will separate the men from the boys right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've done this lots. And I have to do this at work here at Gallup. Mm-hmm. And I do this sometimes. I'm like, can we just talk? And I had someone say to me, wow, I never expected a real person to call me back. That took guts. All of a sudden, respect level went from here, just shot way up. And now one of our biggest fans, right? That's how you turn those. So there's, I think that for me, I work in this customer service area a lot. And I think that's one of those areas where you just address it head on.
I had a guy email me once and said, hey, I was looking at the different podcasts about podcasting and your website sucks. And he didn't really say that, but he's basically saying it's, and I said, you know, could we get on Skype? I'd love to know, like, get a little deeper on your feedback. And again, that really shocked him. And then all of a sudden he was like, oh wow, I'm talking to Dave Jackson. I still don't quite know what that means, but okay. And he said, no, I just, he goes, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just compared to Daniel J. Lewis's or Ray's, it looks a little bland. And I'm like, well, that's because, you know, Daniel's a graphic designer, you know.
And Daniel spends a lot of time on his site.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude covered nearly all 24 hours of.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do that, right? Not everybody has that kind of dedication. You're doing the best you can with what you have.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is he's now a member of the School of Podcasting. So it worked in the end. Yeah,
right on.
Absolutely. Well, hey, if you just joined us, you're listening to Ask the Podcast Coach. See, we're live. I have to do this now at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We have an open seat. And so if you have a question, by all means, jump on in. We don't pull people in. We ask you to come on in. If you have a question or anything like that, by all means, jump on in. We killed our phone number. Although I should say Troy earlier actually went out to the School of Podcasting and used the phone number. If you're wondering why Troy sounded a little different, he was using the toll-free number. That does not come into the studio, by the way. That's just a voicemail number from podcastvoicemail.com. And I should probably throw in that if you want to join the School of Podcasting, use the coupon code ASK20, and that will get you in for a slightly reduced fee. But
Dave, I still put my phone number very high up in my show notes, by the way, to leave a voicemail, because if someone's listening on a mobile app and they flip over to that, they can just hit that number and it will auto-dial on their phone. So if you, and I'm using Google Voice to do it. So if you want a good way to, you know, to get that done, and I mentioned early in the show, give us a call, you know, we'll play it on the program. I don't get a lot of them, but from time to time, like Troy did, you will get that call. And it's always nice to have people interact with you in that way. You can play it on the show, kind of hear the tone. It's more fun than reading an email.
Well, that's actually kind of, it ties in this Monday show at the School of Podcasting. I'm doing an episode on what I call low hanging fruit. And it's just, it's amazing in some ways, at least from my chair, that people will say things like, you know, I'm not getting any interaction with my audience. And I'll go to their website and straight up, not a single way to contact them. And it's like, okay, this is an easy fix. I had somebody that was really nice, left me a really nice review for the School of Podcasting, and he had his name there. And I was like, cool. Emailed his, you know, Googled his name /podcast, and he came right up and went to his website. And I had to actually eventually go to Twitter to say thanks for the review. And I thought, you know, I don't think the average person would have gone through all the hoops I had to go to do to just to contact that person. So that's something that I thought, you know, and I thought I would throw it out here maybe if anybody has any input on that. Do you guys, are there any things that you do when you're trying to get to a podcast or anything like that, that, you know, you kind of go, oh, I wish I didn't have to do this to get to the show, or any kind of low hanging fruit? Definitely would love to hear that as well.
One of the, you know, when you talk about low, you're talking about low hanging fruit of ways to engage with your audience. Is that what you were?
Or just anything. I mean, another one is people go, it's not growing. And I go to their website, not a single share button anywhere on their site. And I'm like, okay, you're asking for feedback. There's no way to contact you. You want to grow your audience and there's no way to share it. I'm like, that seems kind of, you know, two things that are easy to do. And
I think you got to talk back, right? I mean, we've talked about talk.to. That's one of those things that allows people. I continue to get messages. I get way more people who try to contact me through that than they do my phone number, by the way. So I get a couple a week through talk.to just off my site. So if they're there, they can click on that. The phone number is one of those ways to do it. But man, just talking back to people on Twitter and, you know, and actually making those relationships matter instead of just tweeting at them, really engage in that conversation. Again, takes a little bit of work. One of the things I am learning as I'm getting busier and busier is I got to have automatic processes on my phone when I think about like sharing on Twitter or talking to people on Twitter or even email. I'm doing way, way more of those things in between items. So I'm waiting in line somewhere. Just this morning, I waited, you know, I waited 5 minutes for or 10 minutes for my coffee at Starbucks. And I pull my phone out and I start catching up with some of those things. I had a listener from, and I think he's from my, from the tech side, Home Gadget Geeks, who said, hey, I'm going to have some time this morning. How can I, what's the best, I have a brand new phone. What's the best way to listen to you guys for this show this morning? And so I had said, well, hey, you might want to come to Blab. I know that go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I said, well, if you have my Spreaker app, I'll just stream it live on the Spreaker app and you could do that as well. Well, that was a conversation, right? That allowed me to have that conversation back and forth. So I think you got to be listening and you got to be quick. You can't have podcast at yourdomain.com and then only check it once a month.
Yeah.
If you want to kill that kind of engagement, in fact, I'm worried on the talk.to, sometimes I forget to turn that thing off and I'm not at the office to answer those.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm worried that people are asking questions and not getting it. You do that one time, they will never come back. Right. So you have to be consistent on that as well.
Yeah, I see Classy Podcast in the chat room. She's saying that her audience does a lot of interaction with her on, you know, Twitter. So that's something I need to work on because I use Twitter, but I usually use Buffer app to do that. And it's usually, you know, that's just an output. And then I occasionally will go into, you know, the whatever. I think I use Hootsuite on my phone to check my, you know, things coming in, and I don't do that enough. That's something I do probably, you know, once every 3 or 4 days.
You got to stay on top of it. Yeah. You got to find a way. You know, Buffer, what's Buffer is great for is the analytics. And so you can load it into Buffer and then really see what kind of engagement you're getting on those tweets. And if they're getting zero engagement, you know, nobody's clicking on them or whatever. I'm on another show called Home Server Show. And whenever I retweet his tweets, my engagement just explodes. I mean, I'm talking hundreds of clicks on my retweet. So that tells me, wow, my audience is really engaged in this home server stuff, which we've known. That's been, you know, that's my background. But I have a feeling like, so anytime I post something related to home server or NAS or backup or storage, I'm going to get high engagement. It gives me a clue as to how to run that engagement out on what I'm doing. And you get that through Buffer. Dave, do you pay for the do you the $10 or you do
the $10 a month thing? And the other thing, there's a great post. I'll have to see. I actually tweeted it out where it was like a post like, did you know that Buffer can do this? And one of the things you do is when you go into your schedule, you will see down towards the bottom where it says want to optimize your schedule, try our optimizing timing tool. And what it does is you click it, it looks at your tweets and it says, here are the best times for you to tweet. And then it asks you how many tweets you want to do per day and it schedules them at the optimal times. And I was like, that was easy. I know last week I talked about Twiriad and it basically, if I didn't know better, I think they're integrating somehow with that service because it's the exact same thing. And there are a bunch of, I'm trying to find, they have a really good blog. If you go over to bufferapp.com/... see, I'm logged in, so it keeps taking me. I'm like, no, I want to look at their website. Yeah, Buffer App. Okay, blog.bufferapp.com. And I don't know where that was, but there's like all sorts of features that I had no idea that... Yeah, here it is. I found the link. I'll put a link to this out in the chat room. But all that's where I found out about this whole scheduling tool that's built into Buffer App. And like you said, there are all sorts of analytics that you can see who clicked on, not so much who, but how many people clicked on this or that. And
It's crazy. What I mean, like, I know I'm looking at mine right now and I have a NASA tweet from last night that had 40, one favorite and 43 clicks on it. That's pretty good, right? So I'm starting to get a feel, and I've known this, by the way, but it's one of those things. I get a feel for what my audience is interested in. So on my podcast, if I talk about anything related to space, I get gigantic numbers on those. Hmm. Anything related to science, like, the Internet of Things, it's a gadget show. So that makes kind of sense, right, from that standpoint. But I begin to kind of measure my audience. I take the temperature of what my audience is interested in by following the analytics that are on Buffer. And so I just follow, I use If This Then That to follow a certain group of RSS feeds. We talked about this last week. And they auto-tweet for me. So it's not like I'm doing it. Bill had asked a question in chat. How am I using automatic processes on my phone? It's not on the phone itself. It's the processes behind, but I use my phone to interact with them. Let me give you an example. So I use If This and That to feed. Actually, it's an integration built into Slack that allows me to pull in these RSS feeds into a room in Slack. Slack has a great phone app, both iPhone and Android, to access those, the Slack rooms that you have that you may be signed up for. Then I go to that room and it's like the old feed reader, right? And it has a link to it. And I can, on the phone, I can, if I like the tweet that's pulled in there, I can click on the link. It will send me over to the Twitter app on the phone, and then I can send it directly. So this is what allows me to use automation, but still choose the tweets that I want to retweet from my account, right? So it gives me this opportunity to review them. Oh, by the way, all done on my phone, all using If This and That, the Slack app on the phone, and time when I'm standing around waiting to do something. So that's, Bill, that's an example of how do you use your phone in an automated way to get some of those things done. Does that make sense, Dave? I know it's geeky. I'm the nerd.
Back it up 1 second. You pull RSS feeds into Slack?
Into Slack. There's an RSS integration with Slack. Yeah. So I monitor like Science 360 and NASA and some of those RSS feeds. And whenever they update, it throws it into a room or a hashtag, right? I forget what we call those in Slack. I forget what they're called. I used to know that, and I got it wrong on the last podcast I was in. They call those channels. That's what those called in Slack. So you can set up the integration to grab those RSS feeds and move them into a channel in Slack. And the nice thing about Slack is you can open that channel up to anybody you want. So you have multiple people doing this if you wanted to create a group in Slack to get it done. So it drops this into the channel. And then from when I have spare moments on the app on my phone for Slack, I log in, check that channel, and I go through the various tweets that it's, and you can, by the way, you can search hashtags. It doesn't have to be RSS, right? This integration allows you to do a whole bunch of things that's in there. And then if I like it and I want to retweet it, I just click on the link. And like I said, it takes me over to the Twitter app on my phone, and I can retweet it right from there or update it or whatever. From that standpoint. So it's pretty nerdy, but if you're in Slack, if you haven't tried Slack, try it out. But there are things called integrations with Slack that you can integrate certain things into your rooms. And I think you find those in the preferences. If you want to go in there and advanced options, maybe we'll get you in there. Too detailed to kind of cover here on the show, but those are some cool automated things you can do that give you some options. And just because it's automated doesn't mean every single one goes out into public. Because Dave, we've talked about how automation can bite you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? From that standpoint, and that can be bad. So this is automation that allows me to choose, which I think is pretty cool.
The other thing I thought I would bring up, we mentioned last, I think it was last week, the week before that, Joyride has been shut down. They were purchased by Google. These are the people we are using for our crowdfunding page, which you can find at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome, because you are an awesome supporter when you do that. And so I've been playing more with Patreon, and to make a long story short, I have one for the School of Podcasting that is basically you pay whenever I make a post, because I didn't want the pressure of having something there monthly. And so I did the opposite with this one. This is you pay a monthly fee, and I've been throwing my plan is to throw, you know, the post show that we do here that's recorded but not put out live. And then maybe if I do a Periscope or something like that, kind of the behind the scenes stuff in that. And here's the really weird thing. So this is a monthly deal, and you log into your Patreon account. I make a post, and like it says, who do you want to see this? Like, cause we have the different, you know, you can be a patron for a buck, five, 10, 20. And so I look at it. I'm like, well, at least the $5 people get the behind the scenes stuff. So I click on that, and I make the post, and I go back later because I want to add something to it. You cannot find your previous post. And I'm like, and I asked Ray, and Ray's like, I think you just go here. Maybe not. Ray Ortega from podcasterstudio.com. And so I've been clicking around, and if you go to their website, I'm really, really, really surprised there is no tutorial on Buffer on Patreon site on how to use Patreon. There's a lot of like, hey, it's cool, it's crowdfunding, but I'm like an actual like nuts and bolts. And have fun going to YouTube, typing in Patreon demo, Patreon tutorial, because there's a million of people that are using Patreon to say, please be my patron. So finding an actual how to is really, I was like, you got to be kidding me. There's got to be a way. And this is where Joyride hands down was a better interface, because you could go in and see all your stuff, and their back end was, so I was kind of really like, as much as Patreon is cool and I like it, I'm kind of like, as a useful thing. So I sent an email in 2 days ago and have yet to get a response. I got an automated response saying, hey, it's in the system, we've got your ticket, but I might email them on Twitter. How old do I sound? I'm going to email them on the Twitters. I'm going to book on the face thing with the Twitter. So I'm kind of like a bummed that I put last week's post show there. And at this point, it seems the only way I can see this is if I become my own patron. And I'm like, there's got to be another solution, because I know. So if you're using Patreon and you know a way of doing this, by all means, let me know. But I consider myself pretty savvy when it comes to software, and I've clicked on everything there is to click on. And, you know, when you go and see creator posts, it's everybody else's posts. And I'm like, I cannot find my own stuff. So I'm pretty sure like last week's show is posted in there twice, if not three times, because I kept thinking, wait, where'd it go? So it was really, really weird.
Hey, get your buzzer ready, because okay. I have a Blab question.
I'm sorry.
Do you think when you go to blab.im and you're looking at the live feeds there, right, that page that says here's what's live now, do you think you actually see all of the Blabs that are live?
I actually wondered about that, or if they're filtered, because I see right now we're on the front page.
Of course we are, because we're awesome. Actually, our Patreon supporters are awesome.
But yeah. We're okay. Well, let's see right now. 369. Because at this point, there would only be 15. Okay. I would say, yeah, because
you think they're filtering them in some way?
Let's see.
Or do you think there's really only 15 global Blabs going on?
They had me. And then when I scroll down, I'm like, wait, that's 15. And there's no page two.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe it'd be a good question to ask somebody over there at Blab at some point.
I thought at first, because there's 60 people watching something called Teacher Blab. We have 33 right now, and then 11, 7, 5, 8. So I thought they were filtered by how many people were watching.
I think they're descending in that order, right? I think the most popular one is all the way up in the left-hand corner. But I think they then descend based on how many viewers they have.
See, you think that, and then you get to row two, and there's 11 viewers, 19 viewers, and 26 viewers. And I'm like, that's out of sync.
Yeah, during International Podcast Day, I was just, you know, perusing around out there just to kind of see what else people were doing. And it was like, I wonder if this is it. All right, looks like we got somebody to call in.
Yes. So welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach. What's your name and what's your question? Of course, now we have two. That's going to rain people here.
Oh, that's okay. Good. Well, just tell that second one to hold tight. Tell us your name and where you're coming from.
My name's Courtney. This is the first time I've been on Blab.
Awesome.
But it looks like a great something you can utilize for different, I guess podcasts or
especially this format, right? Where we're trying to bring in guests. It's really good at that.
Yeah. So I'm actually just working on my setup. I didn't even know, first time I clicked on it. You guys seem to be talking about something that interests me, which is the whole Patreon thing. My son does YouTube, and I met a guy from Patreon at a conference, and they've been very responsive. They said, "Oh, we'll build your page. We'll help you create rewards and things to do for people when they donate." And so I think it's just a matter of getting to the right person at Patreon, because they were very, very responsive. Two-person call and lots of emails, and so I think it's out there.
Yeah, I've actually interviewed some guys from Patreon on my show. I have somebody coming up later this month to talk about what are the best practices of Patreon. I just was surprised that there were no videos, like no step-by-step nuts and bolts. Now, part of that problem is somebody who's going to be redoing videos today, because things keep up. As soon as you make a video and you come out with an update, your video is out of date. So, I mean, that's a problem with Clamor. That's a problem with, any kind of software as a service function is the minute you come out with new stuff. But my whole thing is, don't come out with the new stuff until you have your video ready. Otherwise, you just create frustration in your community. But that's the teacher in me coming out. It's like, get the materials ready. So do you have a podcast right now?
I was with you. I started a Patreon, and then somehow I finalized it. And I'm like, no, those aren't the rewards I want. That's not.
Yeah.
Oh well. I just won't publish it. I mean, I won't promote it.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you have a podcast yet?
Yeah.
Where's it at?
It's Quadcast. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, all the.
Do you have a website?
Other platforms. You have a website, quadfathermft.com.
Quadfather. How cool is that?
The Quadfather.
Yeah.
Well, my son is QuadMFT, so when he stole my email and my Twitter handle, I had become something, so I became the Quadfather.
So you guys do comedy?
Kind of storytelling, always looking for the joke, so cracking on each other and, doing fun stuff. So
how long you been doing it?
Just over a year now.
Cool. And lessons learned in a year? If you had to do it all again?
The opposite of what my kid does in YouTube. In YouTube, they're very proprietary. They're very, I'm not really going to give you a retweet. I'm not really going to collaborate with you because I'm famous and you're not. It's working with other podcasts, really working your Twitter, but collaborating with other people. Like I'm doing two podcasts with other guys for their shows. And really it's just have fun, because there's a sea of podcasts that go on beyond what you could even imagine, and trying to get popular or whatever, it's, I guess, keep working at it, but just make sure you're having fun. Cause if you're not having fun, no one's going to hang out with you.
That's it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for popping in and giving your input on Patreon. I really appreciate that.
Glad it all works. All right. Thanks for talking to me.
Yep, you bet. Welcome to Blab.
Yeah, welcome to Blab.
Good to be here. See you, Courtney. Thanks for coming
by. And Carlise had
popped in. Anybody stay with us, Dave?
Carlise had popped in, and then Jim was gone.
I don't know what's going on at work, but Blab at work has not been successful for me. It keeps locking up, and even when I try to listen to him here. So we must have something going on in our firewall or something that's causing things to lock up here.
And if you ever use Blab and that happens to you, you just basically refresh your page and it kicks you right in.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I did. Hit refresh. I stopped hearing you, and then I was like, oh, refresh. And if this was a Google Hangout, this was doing it, we would be screwed, right? It's so hard to get in and out of a Google Hangout to make it work. So just don't sit still very long, Dave, because then I'm afraid I've locked myself out. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I'm trying to make you a host.
Oh.
Remove this person as a co-host here. I think.
Oh, that's kind of cool, little notifications. I haven't seen those before.
It's just not up. You're supposed to have an H now instead of a G.
Oh.
And that way, if I get kicked out, the Blab doesn't end.
They added that for International Podcast Day, didn't they?
Yeah, way we could. And boy, was that a good Dave Lee. Those guys thought everything. Because at one point, I got kicked out. Didn't know I'd been kicked out. Just everybody's thing was blinking like they were trying to join. So I thought I was still in, but I refreshed. And finally, Daniel in the chat room was like, Dave, refresh. And I'm like, oh, and then everybody came back. So that's always fun.
Yeah, if worst comes to worst, always refresh. It just always comes back.
Right to where you are.
Just right where to be. You had to let me back in. But I still see a G. So were you going to try to make me a host as well?
Because when I click on your name, I can see you have an H. And it says, remove this person as a co-host. So you are technically a co-host at this point. Why it doesn't update your name to an H, I don't know.
Hmm.
But
interesting.
But...
Well, things you know, it's funny, you know, we've been doing Blab for a while now, and you have to give me the buzzer.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I'm always surprised at how many people are still just finding it, you know, but it's going to be that way, right? I mean, we are the cutting edge from that standpoint, but people continue to be like, oh, I just found this. And you're like, really? We've been talking. It feels like we've been, it's only really been 2 months. You know, when you think about it, I think my, if I click on my own, I've been here for, oh, did they take out the number of days here? Didn't they used to list those?
It like looks how like long not, you been around?
Yeah. Can you see, can I see that on you? Yeah. They took it off. You used to be able to see the number of days you've been out here.
So it was like a badge of honor. I've been
A little bit. I was really proud that I was,
they're on the main profile, he says. So, yeah, Gabe, we, the whole thing on the PodClear acquisition, we're all kind of like, well, we guess it's kind of good. Well, I did not have great experiences with PodClear. But to me, it's kind of wait and see. It's like, okay, they've got this technology. Now, what are they going to do with it? So it'll be great. You know, cause I know the people at PodClear, I worked with them a little bit in their beta and got to know them at Podcast Movement. And so to me, I'm like, well, this, you know, it's looks good on paper. I'll be interested to see what it does. My whole thing is, how does a company like Blab, which isn't charging for anything, no advertising on their site, how do they go about buying somebody? You know what I mean? It's like, and I guess that's,
they got money.
Yeah. It's the back end.
They have, I mean, they've bought and sold this thing twice. I think that's the story that Miss Eileen tells is that they, you know, they were the epitome of buy low, sell high. And so they bought it, they built it, sold it. It came to another company. It went down. They bought it low again, you know, so they've got plenty of, they've got cash. And so, and something tells me that probably wasn't, you know, three guys in a garage wasn't that expensive of a purchase. Sorry, PodClear, but, you know, it's three guys, I think was the story there. So I don't think it was too terribly expensive. I love the transparency of Blab right now. They are just open and they're out there and they're in their own, you know, they're jumping in, they're helping. I think that's super helpful what we're doing. You know, and they're not afraid to sit behind. They're not hiding. Like, here's our service and you can't criticize us. They're out there listening and they're, you know, they're much like when we think of Simple Podcast Press, you know, Hanny out there is Hanny's everywhere, right? I mean, I've pinged this guy on Sunday nights asking him questions and he's gotten back to me in a minute or two, right? And I feel like, man, I'm the one that's out there all the time. And that dude is super responsive when we think about Simple Podcast Press, as well as the guys at Clamor feel that way, right? I get that feeling with Clamor that they're listening, they're changing things. And so it was, it's just kind of cool to be engaged with those kinds of developers who are as into the community as we are. If you're listening to my live feed on Spreaker, I'm going to shut it off because I keep losing it. So thanks for giving it a try.
So that was using the Spreaker app?
Well, that's using Spreaker, but on my app, right? Anytime I go live, it streams it live to my app as well. That is, Dave, God, that is so, like, so for my Android and iPhone, I own homegadgetgeeks.com, which is super easy to send people to, right? So, you know, that was one of those things where my network address, and I was like, do I switch my podcast, my Home Gadget Geeks podcast over to that homegadgetgeeks.com and create a single site just for the podcast? And then when these mobile apps came along, it was just a perfect spot to say, so now you can go to homegadgetgeeks.com. And I just have the links for both. You know, I have the graphics for both iPhone and Android app right there on the page. You click on it. It takes you to the store based on the phone that you're on. And install the app. And then once the app is there, I have, you know, the album art is on the home screen for the user, which is great branding. And if they wanted to listen to me live, they just click on that. And in the podcast or in the player for Spreaker, it's all my shows, all the RSS feeds. And then if I'm live, it's the very top one. And it works great. I mean, I just can't,
that's
can't
cool.
say for $100, it was a great,
well, see,
me.
And that's something, because on one hand, if you look at the Libsyn app, they have like your contact information. It's really easy to call from the Libsyn app.
Right.
But you don't get that feature.
You don't get the live feature of it. And it's great. Sponsored by LastPass, I should say, because I didn't actually fork out the money for this, right? LastPass paid, they're my sponsor for the app. I went after Glenn the Geek. I went after the sponsor and just said, hey, you want to be on the app for a year? And they said, yeah. So they cut me a check and we built the app, and it takes like 10 minutes. I mean, it's stupid easy. So that's one of those things that I'll say thanks to LastPass for sponsoring. If you haven't tried out LastPass, by the way, to keep track of all your passwords, there isn't an easier way, because we all know we got like a gazillion passwords.
I live and die by LastPass. I can definitely say that. So
good friends of the show. Thanks, LastPass. But go after a sponsor. If you don't want to pay for it yourself, see if you can get a sponsor to pay for it.
Yeah. And the chat room is mesmerized by the fact that they're glad to see I'm wearing pants today. It is cold here in Ohio, so that's a good thing.
Getting cooler. The fall is coming here in the United States.
Lots of wind, but my stepdaughter's in South Carolina, so she's getting tons and tons of rain, but she's okay. Man, an hour goes quick.
It does. Stay around for some post-show, though.
Yeah, we'll definitely stick around for some post-show. So if you're watching live, we'll definitely do a little post-show. And thanks to the chat room. Again, we're here every year. Every year. You know
every
what?
Year, too.
Yeah, we're here every year. We're actually here every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. Just go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Had a problem with Pretty Link this week that would not let me update the link. I had to go in and actually comment out some stuff in the plugin, so that fixed that. But that was getting really nervous, because I keep telling everybody, oh, just go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, and it wouldn't let me change that. So I got that finally to work. That's where WordPress is cool, because there's such a huge community. And I just googled that error message, and there were like three people, and finally I saw where Daniel had the same problem at one point, and he said, hey, I tried this and it worked. So God bless the WordPress community. Don't forget, you can use the coupon code ASK20 at theschoolofpodcasting.com. If you're looking to start a podcast, if you'd like to support the show, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And of course, we talked about reviews today. You can leave a review at askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes. That'll take you right over there. That is always deeply appreciated. And so thanks again, and we'll see you next week. And again, don't leave if you're watching live. We'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.